I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Church family, it's good to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. 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 It's good for our hearts. It's good for our minds. Kind of clears everything out and helps us see life the way we need to. It's my honor today to reintroduce you to a good friend of ours. This is Jose Chinchilla. Let's thank God for Jose this morning. Amen. Amen. If you don't know Jose, you're going to get to know him a little better today. Jose and Melanie serve in the country of Germany. They work with Spanish-speaking people in the city of Berlin, Germany. And there's a cool story behind that about how God directed this Guatemalan and this American girl who loved Spanish to each other and then to us for 3 years, where they served as missionary interns. Many of you got to know them well. And then they've spent the last 4 years in Germany. During that time, they've acquired a couple of little boys. And these little boys are sweethearts. They are beautiful children. The cool thing about them, though, is that when you talk with them, they will speak to you in English and Spanish and German all in the same conversation. They just don't tell you when they're changing. So you kind of go, where are we going with this? It's really cool. Jose is going to bring the word to us this morning. Let's thank God again for Jose. Amen? Amen. Bring it, brother.
Good morning, everyone. Everybody speaks in Germany, so our kids are exposed to German. And at home, we decided to speak in Spanish and English. So I speak to them only in Spanish, and Melanie speaks to them only in English. But when we came to the U.S., Josiah looked at me like, oh, you speak English too? Yes, I do, sir. It's really good to be back with our Northmar family this year. It's incredibly rewarding and encouraging to know that in spite of the distance, the relationship with you guys and the love that we have for each other is very much alive and growing. The other day we met with the Hennen family. We ate together, we played a game, we read the scriptures, we prayed for each other, and most importantly, we drank coffee. It was good. It was good. The whole experience with them is very well described in Psalms 133. How pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, because it is right there where the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. So thank you, Hennens, for the great time. We also get to spend some time with the Finches. And as I was evaluating the experience and thanking God that we got to spend some time with them, a silly thought came to my mind. Who would have thought that chinchillas and finches could get along with each other so well? Anyway, it was a great experience. I do feel bad that they lost the croquet game. Maybe next time, guys. I'm just saying. The truth is that they won the game. They are really, really good croquet players. And we enjoyed our time with them. Thank you, Finches, for the fun. And the reason I bring up this time, our time with these families, is because we are enjoying that of reconnecting with our Northmar Church family. We love you guys, and we want to thank you all for receiving us, for embracing us, for loving on us. And thank you again, Myron, and all of you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. 4 years ago, Melanie and I left the U.S. in response to God's call to missions. He invited us to partner with him in what he's doing in Germany. He is bringing Germans and Spanish speakers back to him. And as we partner with him, we get to feel his heart for post-Christian Europeans. And I can tell you that he loves them deeply. And he takes great joy when he sees them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I just love that. And the cool thing about what God is doing in Germany is that he's using Alliance workers to fulfill his will in that part of the world. When you give to the Great Commission and to our work funds, you ensure that people in Berlin that do not yet believe in Jesus receive gospel access. This year's theme for missions in the Alliance is gospel access for all peoples. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, he said to him, "Leave your country, leave your parents, go to the land that I'm going to show you, establish yourself in that land, I will prosper you, and in you all peoples on earth will be blessed." When we read this passage, it is very clear that God's will for the nations is a blessing. He wants to bless all peoples on earth. He wants for all peoples on earth to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Now, let me tell you something about evangelizing in a post-Christian society. In simple words, it's complicated. It really is. It could be very intimidating and hard at times. And sharing our faith in the U.S. is not easy either. But I know that as we are faithful in sharing our faith, the Lord will bless our efforts. The main idea I want to communicate this morning is that we should anticipate, every believer should anticipate fruit as he witnesses for the Lord, because of the following theological reasons. Every believer should anticipate fruit as he witnesses for the Lord. The first theological reason is that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 8, that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word convict means in this context to accuse, to interrogate, to attack. And the imagery that the word invokes in this passage is that of a lawyer thoroughly interrogating and attacking a person on the witness stand until that person confesses guilt. How do you feel about that? I feel like I should anticipate fruit as I witness for the Lord because the Holy Spirit is at work in the world. But what exactly is the Holy Spirit doing in the hearts of those who do not yet believe in Jesus? He's doing three things. The first thing he's doing is clearly showing them their sin. The second thing is that he is creating in them a desire for a different kind of righteousness. And he's also creating in them a longing to avoid eternal judgment. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world. Some of you may be asking in this moment, if the Holy Spirit is such a great prosecutor, as you say, Why should I share my faith? Paul answers that question in Romans chapter 10. Listen to what he says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on him in whom they have never heard? And how are they going to hear without someone preaching? And how are they going to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Preach the good news. Preach the good news. Preach the good news. Keep this in your mind, the good news. As partners with the Holy Spirit, we have the responsibility to share our faith. What happens is that sharing our faith is not the easiest thing to do. But it doesn't have to be complicated either. When you think of it, we have the easy part because we share what? The good news. The Holy Spirit is doing the heavy lifting because he's convincing the whole world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, I want to clarify that the work of the Holy Spirit in people's hearts is not to condemn. What he's doing is systematically targeting and skillfully destroying every thought in people's minds that might make them believe that they can get to heaven on personal merit or apart from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world. I'm going back to Germany late spring of 2016. And as I get ready to go do what he called me to do, I'm anticipating fruit as I witness for the Lord because the Holy Spirit is at work in Germany as he is here in the U.S. and the rest of the world. The second theological truth I want to share with you is that the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. You remember that occasion when Jesus sent the 72 to share the good news of the gospel into the different towns that he was later going to visit. We learned this in Luke chapter 10. And in verse 2, this is what he said to them. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are what? The workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send workers to his harvest. The statement is clear, or the implications of this passage are very clear. Those sharing their faith are few, and those in need of receiving the good news of the gospel are plentiful. As partners with the Holy Spirit, we have the responsibility to share our faith, and we should anticipate fruit as we witness for the Lord, because the harvest is plentiful. According to Luke 10:2, there's a connection between evangelism and prayer. So we need to get to prayer. The harvest is plentiful. So he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers to his harvest. I went to a church planting conference in Frankfurt, Germany, and they taught us that if we want to see a church planting movement develop, we need to commit ourselves to doing two things. The first thing is we need to create ways to find creative ways to do the work of evangelism. And the second one is that we need to pray for workers for the harvest. I want to challenge you guys this morning to not only receive the truths that we are talking about here, but to take a step of faith, a very practical step of faith. And I want you to bear with me for a few minutes. How many of you have a cell phone? Could you please show me your cell phone? Show me your cell phone. And keep them handy for a second. If you feel encouraged by the Holy Spirit with what I've said so far, take a minute now or at the end of the service, whatever works best for you, to set up an alarm in your phone. My alarm is called Pray for the Harvest. That is going to go off at 10:02 a.m. or 10:02 p.m. Again, whatever works best for you. And when that alarm goes off, there you go. Timely. Whose phone was that? Was it yours? When your phone, when your alarm goes off, then you pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, by faith, I want to pray that you use me to share my faith, that you use me to share the good news with others. I pray that you send workers to your harvest field in Ohio, in China, in Japan, in Jordan, and in Germany. Amen. Melanie and I have been praying that prayer for quite a while. We've been praying that prayer. 4 months ago, we received an email from our Alliance World Fellowship president saying that an alliance, international alliance worker from Ecuador is considering the idea of joining us in what we are doing in Berlin. And a week ago, we received an email from a missions organization in Costa Rica saying that they have two international workers that, again, are interested in joining us in Berlin, interested in coming together with us and do what God is calling us to do in this place. We do the math. We think that as we are praying, the Lord is opening doors for us, and He's bringing the right people to partner with us to join us in what we are doing. Before going to Germany, we struggle with not being able to have kids. And that was a very, very painful period of time in our lives, because we wanted badly to have kids, but we couldn't. And we shared our burden with you guys. Our elders prayed for us, and many of you comforted us. And so we went to Germany. And within the first month in Germany, Melanie told me that, gave me the great news that she was pregnant. 9 months later, Josiah comes, and we started to have fun changing diapers, not being able to sleep at night. And 9 months, when Josiah was 9 months old, Melanie gave me again the great news that she was pregnant. And 9 months later, Ian, the Lord blessed us with Ian. And as we reflected on that experience, we asked God to redeem that period of infertility. That mentality that takes over your mind and doesn't have to peace and doesn't let you, as we sang this morning, to experience that freedom to which He called you to live. And so as we are getting ready to go back to Germany, we are praying God to bless us with spiritual children. And we want to ask you guys to join us in that prayer. We anticipate fruit. We will anticipate fruit as we witness for the Lord, because the harvest is plentiful. We want to have lots of kids, spiritual children. The last theological truth I want to share with you guys this morning is that the Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry. The truths that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world and that the harvest is plentiful are very humbling. Don't you think so? We can't accomplish the Great Commission in our own strength. And Jesus knew that. So that's what he said to his disciples in Acts 1:8, the following words. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power that Jesus talks about in this passage is power to witness even to the ends of the earth. We should anticipate fruit as we witness for the Lord, because the Holy Spirit empowers us for effective witnessing. But when missiologists look at post-Christian Germans and by extension Europeans from the perspective of evangelism, they consider them to be a very hard people to win for Jesus. They say that they are atheist to the bone, that their theology is liberal, and that their spirituality is New Age. And the list goes on for reasons to believe that it is really hard to reach or to win Germans for Jesus. And in order to illustrate this way of thinking, a speaker said that Germans are like coconuts. Germans are like coconuts. When it comes to evangelism, they are like coconuts. They are cold, they are hard on the outside, and lack it in social skills to develop friendships. I don't know how he got the third part from the coconut. Somehow he squeezed it in there. That comparison really bothered me. Really, really bothered me. There goes the alarm. It really, really bothered me. But I acknowledge that there is an element of truth in that coconut metaphor. I know firsthand how complicated it could be sharing my faith with post-Christian Germans. So, as the speaker continued explaining how hard it is and how long it takes to open a coconut, I felt like standing in the middle of the room and say, "Excuse me! Excuse me! I come from Guatemala. And guess what? Guatemala is coconut land." And I know firsthand that if you have the right skill and the appropriate tools, you can open a coconut in less than 30 seconds. So I strongly disagree with your idea. I didn't stand up. I didn't want to embarrass myself. And I didn't want to antagonize the speaker. But as I was praying and asking God to redeem the coconut metaphor, All of a sudden, I found myself praying, "God, give me the skills and the right tools to open the hard German coconuts to the gospel. Use me, Lord." So as I go back to Germany, I anticipate to see fruit as I witness for the Lord, because the Holy Spirit empowers us for effective witnessing. Let's take a minute to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit empowers us for effective witnessing. Lord, we've been learning this summer how to share our faith, and we know that the harvest is plentiful. So we pray that you send workers to the harvest field. We pray that you guide us to people that the Holy Spirit is already convicting. Father, we know that you appointed us. You chose us first, and you appointed us to go and bear fruit, and that our fruit will abide. Thank you for encouraging us to anticipate fruit as we witness for you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.